The title for this morning's message is rather long. Those who worship with their faces are rebuffed. Ezekiel 20, verse 1. We are told that in the year 590 BC, that is the seventh year of their captivity, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before Ezekiel. And then the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me as I live? Saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will thou judge them, son of man, will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And then God would give them a history lesson, beginning from the days of Moses before the children of Israel came out of Egypt by a mighty hand from God, all the way right up to the present. Who were these elders of Israel which came to inquire of the Lord? I believe that these elders of Israel were probably lay people, civil magistrates and officers sent by Zedekiah, who was still the king of Judah. He was the last king of Judah whom Nebuchadnezzar appointed to take over Jehoiakim. Now we know from the earlier chapters that Zedekiah had been made a vassal state, no more a sovereign country. He had to, on an annual basis, bring certain amount of money or tribute to Nebuchadnezzar. And he wanted to lift this yoke off his own shoulders by making an alliance with Egypt. Perhaps he sent these elders to Zedekiah to see if this revolt against Nebuchadnezzar would succeed. Perhaps to inquire if Zedekiah will live through this revolt. We are not told the content of the inquiry from these elders of Israel. Perhaps this was what they asked for. For in the year 588 BC, 2 years from now, Nebuchadnezzar will bring his mighty army down to Jerusalem and circle it for 2 whole years before it finally capitulated to the famine and drought and the onslaught of the Babylonians. Did God answer the elders of Israel? From this introductory 4 verses, we are told that Ezekiel had a difficult task. He was in Babylon for 7 years already as a captive of Nebuchadnezzar. He was now placed in a dilemma. Do you want to tell them the truth? Instead of giving them an answer to whether Zedekiah will live or die or whether the revolt will succeed, tell them the truth. Tell them about the abominations that were still in the land. Tell them if they know about the abominations of their fathers. And Ezekiel, as all good prophets ought to, he said exactly what God told him to say. And so when we look at verse 5, to verse 32, we shall see how God will rebuff or rebuke those who worship Him with their faces only. This particular problem of worshiping God with the face is found in biblical churches. In other religions, in churches that are cultic, in churches that are worshippers of idols, they do not have this particular problem because they worship the wrong God. They worship in ways and manners that are already an abomination to God. For them, their problem was sincerity outside of the truth of God will not bring them into the presence of God. But for the Israelites, for people like ourselves who have the word, who know the word supposedly, and who are supposed to have the proper method of worship, the proper approach to God through Christ Jesus, we are in danger of worshiping God with our faces. What is wrong with worshiping God with our faces? From this particular chapter, we shall see that God will not hear us, because this is mere mockery to God. To worship Him with our faces only, with no sincerity, backed up not with our life, but only with empty words sung to Him week after week, week after week. And we think that God does not know. Permit me to share with you at least three symptoms of someone who worships God with his face only. From verse 5 to verse 9, we see the first symptom. It is a sinful disease, where the symptom is revealed to us in these six verses. Say unto them, God told Ezekiel, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. God demonstrated His mighty power in the midst of Israel. While they were in Egypt, they were enslaved by the wicked pharaohs of that time. And the slavery was so bad that they cried to God to deliver them. And so God sent His servant Moses, and through Moses, as well as his older brother Aaron, God demonstrated 10 miraculous plagues, and they were no ordinary miracles that God performed in the midst of Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and the Israelites who lived in Goshen. The first plague was to turn the great river Nile into blood. God filled the land with frogs, the second plague. And the third plague was lice in man and beast. The fourth plague, swarm of flies in Egypt. The fifth plague, cattle of the Egyptians died of murrain. And from the fifth plague onwards, God specifically told us that from now I will separate the people of Israel, my people, and the people of Egypt, the Egyptians. And so when the cattle of the Egyptians suffered this terrible disease of the beasts, murrain, all the cattle belonging to the Israelites were left untouched. On the sixth plague, boils broke out on man and beast, only the Egyptians. Seventh plague, hail to destroy man and beast, only the Egyptians. These stones that fell from the heavens had eyes, picked out only Egyptians. The eighth plague, locusts to eat vegetation and crops. The ninth plague, darkness in Egypt only. All these were demonstrations from God to show the Egyptians, as well as the Israelites who had been living in the land for 430 years, that the gods of the Egyptians were no God at all. For these plagues show forth to the Egyptians that their gods were nothing. The supreme God of the Egyptians was the worship of the sun. And in the ninth plague, God demonstrated that the sun was nothing but His own creation. God made the sun. And so God gave them darkness. Imagine in a piece of land, a portion of it in absolute total darkness. And in Goshen, bright light. How can God turn the beams, the rays of the sun, so that it will shine only where the Israelites live. Where is your great and mighty God, the sun? Nothing. And then finally, the tenth plague was the death of the firstborn of the land of Egypt. For Pharaoh considered himself and his own firstborn as God. And so God showed them, you are nothing. In spite of what God had demonstrated, we are told in Ezekiel, that when they came out of Egypt, having seen the mighty acts of God, they had a heart for idols. That is the first symptom. One who worships God with his face has an idolatrous heart. It is invisible. They can mouth and sing wonderful songs in praise of God. Please turn with me now to Exodus chapter 15. This is the song of Moses, Exodus 15. Not only the song of Moses, but also the song of the children of Israel. They had crossed the Red Sea by way of a mighty hand again on top of the 10 miraculous plagues that God had demonstrated to them. And they will sing wonderful words, inerrant, infallible, the word of God itself. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And so on and so forth. Look at verse 23. The first sign of difficulty. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so God healed the water. Verse 1 of chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they came out of Egypt, after their departing. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. This time, no food. First they ran out of water, they murmured. Then they ran out of food, they murmured. What did they just sung in praise to God? The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Empty words. Wonderful words per se, but they sung with a heart filled with idol. That's exactly how they came out of Egypt. And so in the first sign of difficulty, they murmur and complain. Is God their strength? Yes. On the surface, they say God was their strength. But when they had no water, no food, they murmured, they complained. Perhaps like some of us, we sing many, many wonderful hymns in praise of God. Do we not? Trusting in Him, trust and obey, no other way. And yet, in times of difficulty and pain, in times of calamity, do we murmur, do we complain? Does that not reflect our heart for idols, the things of this world that may be invisible to our eyes, but we hold them so dear to us that when we lose them, we thought that we have lost our little gods. That's how the Israelites came out of Egypt.
They saw the mighty acts of God and they praised God with their faces, but not with their heart. Why then did God not destroy the Israelites? Verse 9 of Ezekiel 20. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. It was not because the Israelites overnight became holy people. It was simply because of God's own glory, God's grace and God's mercy, that they were not destroyed in the land of Egypt, but God spared them, hoping that they would learn the precious lesson of trusting and obeying Him. That they would come out and believing in the one living and true God and no other, to leave the idols behind in Egypt. They did not, in spite of their idolatrous heart, God delivered them still from the midst of the Egyptian. Beware of an idolatrous heart. That is the first symptom of someone who worships with his faith only. Wherein is your God? In this world, of this world, or is He the God of the Bible, from heaven, not of this world? Second symptom, verse 10 to verse 29. The second symptom, you'll find that God did bring them out of Egypt, and now they were in the land of the wilderness. Verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. Please turn with me now to Exodus 20. All right, once again, we shall see how they would worship God with their faces only. They are now in the wilderness. They have made camp at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they have prepared themselves to see the appearance of the Almighty God upon Mount Sinai. And God did appear to them in the voice of a thunder, sounded long, waxed louder and louder, and there was a cloud covering the top of Mount Sinai, and the whole of Mount Sinai became holy. And so bounds were set around the foot of Mount Sinai so that no man or animal would trespass and be killed because of the presence of God. In Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. Verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The first commandment, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4, second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, and so on. All the way down to verse 18. Please note the response of the people. Having heard God speaking now, okay, God Himself gave them the Ten Commandments verbally. They heard God speak to them. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They got scared. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. They were so scared that they said to Moses, please don't let God speak to us directly anymore. You speak to us, but let God speak to you. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And God gave them these commandments. Please now turn with me to Exodus 32. Now, by the way, the children of Israel had already accepted what God had just told them in Exodus 20. They said that whatever God says, we will do. Okay? Look at verse 1 of chapter 32. God, by this time, had called Moses to go all the way up to Mount Sinai, and God had been communing with Moses for 40 days and 40 nights, while the people, with Aaron as the leader, waited at the foot of Mount Sinai. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto them, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, and of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. This was it. They said, Yes, Lord, we will obey you. We will accept your commandments. And God specifically told them 40 days earlier, with his own lips, God spoke to them, No idols made of silver or gold. And what did they do? Silver or gold. Right at the foot of Mount Sinai, with the lightning and the thunder still right in front of them. And they said that this is Elohim, the God that brought you out of Egypt. The second symptom of one who worshiped God with his faith is a hatred for the Word of God. The Word of God was to him despicable. That's what God said against the people of Israel. Look at verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment. They had an idolatrous heart. And then they hated the word of God itself. There is no joy to these who worship with their faces in the obeying of the word. The word of God preached to them week after week will be like waters off a duck's back. He will not penetrate in their hardened hearts. Their hearts are filled with idols. They had only a desire for the things of this world. And in spite of what they did, but I wrought, verse 14, Ezekiel 20, for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. And yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. One of the simplest and the easiest of all of the Ten Commandments that God requires us to obey is to keep the Sabbath day holy. The easiest. And how often many of us break the Lord's day by not keeping it holy. We think that if we spend this morning in the Lord's house, the rest of the afternoon and the evening belongs to me. It's like giving tithe and offering. I give to God my 10%, the 90% belongs to me. Study the scriptures and you will know all 100% belong to God, and God requires from his children to return only a tenth. The 90%, the 90th, the 9/10, the 90%, God says, I allow you to use it to keep body and soul together. All belong to God. Likewise, the Lord's Day, the whole day belongs to God. Not just morning. And then the rest, I do what I want. I send my children to do this, to do that, have their ballet lesson, their tuition, and all the whatnots. We continue to send them to all these. They do what they want. We do what we want. Where is the keeping of the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord? The sunset gospel hour has been very badly attended by our people from Pandan. Why? Because the Lord's Day is not holy. Only the morning is holy. A hatred for the Word of God. Do not come just to fill the seat. You come because you truly, indeed, want to honor God on this Lord's Day. A very simple commandment. Why? Because by honoring the God on the Lord's Day, it is a life of faith. The world will work from Monday to Sunday. For them, it is no problem to work on a Sunday. Do you know that the contractor asked us for permission to work on this Sunday because they are behind time? We said no. They said, well, we will not make so much noise. We will only just do some tiling here and there. It is not the noise problem. It is the principle. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Not the noise problem, but that's how they would look at it. The noise problem. What about us? Would you learn to trust God to keep one day holy for the Lord? 6 days we work. And on the seventh day, trust in God. For it is a covenant between God and the people of Israel to teach them, to tell them that you are different, you are special. The world around you, the Egyptians, the Philistines, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Ammonites, the Edomites, all of them, the Perizzites, they would work from Monday to Sunday all the time. They couldn't care less, but you are special. It's a day where you set aside to turn your eyes from the world and set it straight back to God. Refocus, as it were, our perspective of this life. Trust in Him. That promotion cometh not from the east, nor the west, nor from the south, but from God on high. Your colleagues may work on Sunday, but you tell your boss, no, Sunday is the Lord's Day. I will always not work on Sunday, because it is the Lord's Day. And if He fires you, let Him fire you, find somewhere else to work. Trust in God. You honor Him, He will always honor you. Will you obey the Lord? Keep the day holy because you are His child and you want to obey Him. Not to please man. Do not say, well, some of the elders and the deacons, they don't come on the sunset gospel hour. Why must I come? It is most foolish. That's exactly how many unbelievers reject the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at some of my so-called Christian relatives and friends, the way they live their life, it is so despicable. They say one thing, they do another. Why must I believe in your Jesus? And because of that, they have rejected the truth. Foolish. And likewise, we do the same. We do the same. You come because you love the Lord. Full stop. Don't be stumbled by others. You come. Are we not all adults? Can we not all think for ourselves and know the difference between obedience and disobedience, love and hatred? If God says so, and He is my Heavenly Father, He sent His Son to die for me, and I love Him, and I come because I love Him. Make that a principle in your life for the rest of this life until Jesus comes again. That's the second symptom, a hatred for the Word. And so what did God do with them? God gave them a second chance in the wilderness. Verse 17. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destroying them. God continued to lead them and to bring them all the way into the promised land in spite of the golden calf that they made in Exodus 32. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbath. and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my namesake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. It's very much like in the days when God spoke to the Christians in Rome, in Romans chapter 1. They have rejected the one living and true God who revealed himself through his creation. And they say that there is no God, the animals. These are our gods. And because of that, God gave them up to their debaucherous living. And so man slept with man. Homosexuality became very prevalent in the unbelieving world. And they commit all kinds of abominable acts in the eyes of God. Very much like what God did to the Israelites. God brought them all the way across the wilderness over a period of about 1.5 years, slightly more than that, 1 year, 9 months or so. And they arrive at a place called Kadesh Barnea. God told them, send in 12 spies. You can occupy this land of promise. You have arrived. And they sent in 12 spies. And they took 40 days to recce the land. And they brought back bunches and bunches of grapes. And indeed it was a land of milk and honey. But they saw also the Anakim. They were like giants. And they said, we were like grasshoppers. And so 10 out of these 12 spies said, we cannot go in. If we go in, we will be consumed. God said, go in. They said, no. And because of what these 10 spies said, majority of the Israelites believed in these 10 spies and they did not go in. And so God said, for every day that you took to recce the land, you will have to spend 1 year in the wilderness. And so they spent 40 years in the wilderness wandering. And God said, you do not want to enter into the land? All right, you shall die in the wilderness. So 603,550 young men, 20 years and above, all perished in the wilderness. Unbelief, a hatred for the word. They did not believe in keeping the Sabbath. That was the simplest, week by week, obedience to the word. And when they did not do that, then God gave them his word, other words to obey. They did likewise. Disobedience had become second nature to them. If it fits my mold, the mold that I have created for myself in this world, then I would obey. But when it does not fit into this mold that I have made for myself, I would not obey the word of God. That was their problem. And that's exactly what happened to them. And so God gave them up, and they wandered in the wilderness. But God did not give them up completely. God was still with them. Their clothes did not wear out, their shoes did not wear out for over 40 years. God continued to provide them with manna every day, except on the Lord's Day. And God did bring them into the land of promise. Verse 27, and we will see from verse 27 to 29, the third symptom. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill, and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savour, and poured out their There they are drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Bama simply means high place. The third symptom is a life of idolatry. It began with a heart for idolatrous worship, and then a hatred for the Word of God, and then thirdly, a life of idolatry became second nature to the people of Israel. Oh, they had plenty. The land was still flowing with milk and honey. Once in a while, God would send the enemies to come as a thorn on their side, hoping that it would turn them around. But it lasted only for a short while. And when things became good, fine economically, they turned back to the worship of idols. Every high places you find a little altar underneath a tree, a little altar on top of a mountain, on top of a hill, and they will go there to worship, bringing their offerings. What did God tell them? Only one place of worship, and that is in Jerusalem, no other, where I will make my house. Only one place to worship, to teach them. Only one place, one way of salvation. The way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, they make that into a mockery, a debacle. Worshipping in every high place that they find, you find an altar. But these elders of Israel were from Zedekiah. Did we not learn last Lord's Day that the Father will pay for the sin of the Father, the Son for the Son? How come now God related to them the entire history of what happened to the Israelites from the days of Moses right up to today? And now God said that this is my judgment against them. Look at verse 30 and 32, and you realize that it is not so. God gave them a history lesson to tell them that just as your fathers of old had worshipped me with their faces, with a heart of idolatry, with their hatred for my word, and then they practiced a life of idolatry, you are doing likewise in the days of Zedekiah. Verse 30. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? Yes. And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? Yes. For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. God said, I will not hear your cry. I will not listen to you. I will not listen to your prayers. Verse 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen. We will be like the heathens, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. God knows their hearts. God said it. I know what you are thinking. You continue to hold on to your idolatrous worship, and I will not hear your prayers. Psalm 66, verse 18 tells us that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And that's exactly what happened. We who worship God with our faces will be rebuked by Him, and His rebuke is that I will not hear your cry. The only cry I will hear is a cry of repentance. A cry of repentance. How long will God have to tolerate our disobedience? The first test is how we keep the Sabbath day holy. It is a covenant between you and the Lord to set aside one day and say that, Lord, this day I set it aside to worship you, to set my perspective correct. It is a day of rest and worship. Despise not the word of God. We do so to our own peril. God knows our mind. He knows what each and every one of us is thinking right now, all of us. Do we pay Him lip service? Or do we really, sincerely, from the depths of our heart, ask Him, Lord, help me. I cannot live a holy life by myself. Strengthen me. I cannot obey you without your help. And God will help. God will help. repent, come back to Him, worship Him with our faces no longer, and therefore we will not need to be rebuked by Him. Not today. And God help us, not on the last day when we stand before Him. Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy grace and Thy mercy in our lives. For we acknowledge, O Lord, that Thou hast preserved Thy people, not because we deserve Thy preservation, but merely because of Thy own glory, that Thou hast kept Thy people. And we give Thee all praise, glory, and honor. Speak to our hearts, O Lord. Be merciful to Thy people in this congregation, that we may obey Thy holy word. Help us indeed to be children after Thy own heart, seeking only to please Thee in all that we say and in all that we do. May we worship Thee in spirit and in truth from the depths of our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.